Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the outskirts of Washington, D.C. Most of you know I am a state legislator in Virginia. I am a Virginia delegate. Today I want to talk about another state legislature of North Carolina. Not just because what happened yesterday was egregious, but because it typifies what Republicans are doing nationwide, and that is attacking on the very foundation of our democracy. In North Carolina yesterday, of course, it was September 11th, and there were commemorations for the victims, the survivors, and the heroes of September 11th. The Republicans in North Carolina told the Democrats that there wouldn't be any votes that day. They were free to go to the commemoration ceremonies, and they pulled a fast one. While Democrats were away, not attending, told there would be no votes that day, Republicans set their plan into action. You see, North Carolina is one of the only 13 states left in the United States that don't provide Medicaid expansion to their constituents. Medicaid expansion would be another name for Obamacare. Basically, the federal government, under the Affordable Care Act, aka Obamacare, has given hundreds of millions of dollars to the 50 states to be used on people who can't afford health care. It's kind of an easy win for a state legislator because we get hundreds of millions of dollars that have already been paid for by the federal government. If you don't like the Affordable Care Act, if you don't like Obamacare, it's kind of a different question. This is the law. Republicans are trying at the federal level to repeal the Affordable Care Act, but right now it's the law. Right now we're all being taxed to pay for this benefit, and 37 states take advantage of it, including my home state of Virginia. In fact, for years, Virginia Republicans fought very, very hard to prevent Virginia citizens from using this benefit. And then finally, last year, actually in 2018, we took enough Democrats in Virginia to pass it. And now 400,000 Virginians get health care that weren't getting it before at zero cost to their Virginia taxes because it's a federal benefit. Yeah, not a state benefit. It's a really good deal. It's why 37 states have taken it. Well, in North Carolina, there's a Democratic governor and a Republican legislature. The Democratic governor wants North Carolinians to take this federal benefit. Actually, in North Carolina, it's half a billion dollars, half a million constituents. Let me get my facts right. Half a million constituents, 500,000 North Carolinians under this Medicaid expansion will get health care that weren't getting it before at no cost to their North Carolina state taxes. Remember, Republicans oppose it philosophically. They think that people who are sick should die or use the emergency rooms, but shouldn't take advantage of this health care that was provided by the federal government, by the American taxpayer. They should just suffer and or clog the emergency rooms for everybody else, but mostly just suffer. If you look at statistics, they'll show that if you're poor in America and you suffer from health problems, you're more likely to die, more likely to get sick and die. And, of course, emergency rooms don't help anyone. But that's all policy. That's all policy. That's actually not what I'm complaining about today. Just know that the Democrats in North Carolina wanted to have Medicaid expansion, wanted to provide free health care for half a million North Carolinians. The Republicans said, no, we want these half a million North Carolinians to suffer. We believe that's our philosophy. Only rich people deserve to get taken care of by doctors. And again, that's a philosophical difference between Democrats and Republicans. Democrats think that health care is a right. Democrats think if you're sick, you shouldn't die, even if you're poor. Republicans disagree. They say if you're poor, you should die. Only rich people deserve health care. So it's a philosophical difference. But again, Democrats supported Medicaid expansion. The governor was a Democrat, supported it. The Republicans, who are the majority of the legislature in the House and Senate in North Carolina, do not. Now, one more thing thrown into the mix before we get to some really powerful, sad video, audio. The reason why North Carolina is a Republican-controlled legislature has nothing to do with the people of California. Well, or very little to do with the people of California. California? North Carolina. What am I talking about? The reason why North Carolina Assembly is controlled by Republicans has nothing to do with the people of North Carolina, or very little to do with them, because the North Carolinian legislature has gerrymandered it so severely. So severely, in fact, and using racial gerrymanders, which are illegal under the Voting Rights Act, basically the 1960s laws that ended Jim Crow in America and allowed blacks to vote, that the United States Supreme Court, even this right-wing Trump-dominated United States Supreme Court, said the Republicans in North Carolina, sorry folks, you gotta let blacks vote too. You'd think we'd resolve that in the 1960s. But they said, no, North Carolina, you have racially gerrymandered. They actually said the same thing for Virginia, by the way. And therefore, you have to redraw your lines. And then, just recently, the North Carolina Supreme Court said you have done a partisan gerrymander. Now, the partisan gerrymander in North Carolina, to be fair, the United States Supreme Court said you can be as partisan, you can gerrymander as much as you like. But you couldn't do it under the North Carolina Constitution. The long and the short of it is that in the 2016 election, the majority of North Carolinian voters voted for Democrats. But because of the gerrymander, because of trickery, because of drawing the lines in ways that were illegal under both North Carolina law and against the United States Constitution that were racially discriminatory and partisan gerrymandering, the long and the short of it is that even if the voters prefer Democrats, North Carolina is still controlled by Republicans. Again, same is true in Virginia. In Virginia in 2017, the majority of Virginians voted for Democrats. But the House of Delegates in which I sit is still controlled by Republicans. Not based on democracy, but all based on a gerrymander. So you can understand that Republicans could go in one of two directions. They could either say, I care more about democracy, the rule of law. I care more about fairness. I care more about we the people and majority rule than I do about my own party. And therefore, we will end the gerrymander and let the people decide who the representatives are. Or... yeah, they didn't take that option. Or they could say, we're going to stay in power no matter what. We don't give a damn what our voters think. We're in charge here. We believe in dictatorship. We don't believe in democracy. We don't believe that elections should have consequences. We will stay in power by hook or by crook. That's what they decided. So the court said, no, North Carolina, we're going to change your boundaries whether you like it or not. And that made Republicans really mad. So they decided in their last gasp on power, before the next elections, knowing that they're in power illegitimately, they can still work really, really hard to deny North Carolinians health care. Now, again, if the majority of North Carolinians wanted to deny people health care, they could vote for it. They didn't. They voted for Democrats. But the North Carolina Assembly, controlled by Republicans, is still in charge. And they passed a budget that didn't have Medicaid expansion. The governor, a Democrat, vetoed that budget. He said, nope, you got to take the federal money, you got to provide people health care. And they were at an impasse. And the reason they were at an impasse is that even though Republicans have a majority, they no longer have a two-thirds majority. You need a two-thirds majority in the House and the Senate to override a governor's veto. Actually, is it two-thirds? No, excuse me. In North Carolina, I think it's 60%. But they don't have 60%. Republicans don't have the 60% votes they need to override a governor's veto. So they were at an impasse. Now, normally when you're at an impasse in the legislature, the parties work together and they try to find some common ground. They try to find some compromise. They have to, because the Republicans aren't powerful enough to pass it without Medicaid expansion, and the governor's standing firm and the Democrats are upholding his veto. They're going to have to work something out, right? Wrong. Instead, what the Republicans did is on September 11th, yesterday, 2019, they played a trick on the Democrats. They told the Democrats there'd be no votes today. And while Democrats were out commemorating 2011, they rammed through a two-thirds override. They rammed through the votes necessary, and maybe it's 60% in North Carolina. I'll double-check that. But they rammed through the votes that they didn't have otherwise to overrule the governor's veto. In other words, they tricked Democrats into staying home, into staying out of the chamber, so they could force their rule through. I'm going to play for you some clips from that when we come back from break. And then I'm going to argue for the rest of this hour that this is not an isolated instance. What happened in North Carolina is sadly becoming typical all throughout the United States as Republicans do their best to stop democracy in the United States of America. Why? Because they know the voters don't like them and they're not going to let majority rule. It's a sad situation. We'll describe more when we come back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. Before the break, I was describing what's going on in North Carolina. And later on, I'm explaining why I think this is actually, unfortunately, typical for Republicans across the nation. They would rather stay in power than respect the basic principles of American democracy. Let's listen to the Democratic Governor, Roy Cooper, describe what happened in North Carolina yesterday.
Democrats were told there would be no votes this morning. This was a bald-faced lie. Earlier this year, Republicans tried to take advantage of a Democratic member who was recovering from breast cancer surgery. It didn't work. She's tough as nails, and she showed up for votes anyway. On a day when tragedy united our country, we should be standing together despite party. But instead, Republicans pulled their most deceptive stunt yet. When you have to use bribes and lies, whether to override a veto or to draw your own legislative districts, you are beyond desperate. We still have an opportunity to sustain this vote in the Senate, and I implore Democratic senators to remain steadfast. Legislative Democrats stood against this budget because they knew we had to do more. For over 2 months, Democrats missed family events, work, and even medical appointments to show up at every session just in case a veto override was suddenly brought up. They also relied on the word of Republican leaders when they were told that there would be no votes, because that's how a true functioning democracy should operate. And for over 2 months, Republicans could not override my veto as long as most of the Democrats were in the chamber. For 2 months, Republicans refused to offer a compromise or sit down at a true negotiating table with me.
So there you go. The Republicans couldn't do it legitimately, could not do it democratically. The voters of North Carolina had not elected enough of them to override the veto and to deny health care to 500,000 North Carolinians. So they were in an impasse, and they could have compromised. And by the way, I get this all the time. I get this in Virginia. Well, Mark, why are you decrying the Republicans on guns? Why don't you just work with them to pass something? And I laugh at the naivete. It'd be like saying, Mark, I don't understand why the Democrats can't get minimum wage legislation through the federal government. Why don't they just compromise with Mitch McConnell? People who say that, and it's unfortunate because they have goodwill. They mean well. They don't understand American politics as it is practiced today. And maybe that's because back in the 80s, back in the 90s, more in the 80s than the 90s, you would see Democrats and Republicans coming to compromises, bipartisan compromises. Yeah, I remember 8-track tapes too. Those days are gone. The Republicans have declared war on democracy, not just the Democratic Party, but democracy in general. They don't believe in working together to find compromise. They don't believe it on guns, and they don't believe it on, at least in North Carolina, on Medicaid expansion. No, they'd rather use deception, they'd rather use trickery, and that's exactly what they did in North Carolina. They said, hey, Democrats, we're not taking any votes today. And then they took a bunch of votes. Now, it's fascinating because they are emphatically going against what the North Carolinian populace voted for. And we'll see whether they're punished for it in 2020. Maybe because the election in North Carolina is another year away, they hope people will forget. But there's still a chance, by the way. The North Carolina Senate has 21 Democrats and 29 Republicans. They need 60%. I looked it up. It's 60%, not two-thirds, in North Carolina. That means that all 21 Democrats had better stick around, because the moment there's only 20, then the Republicans are going to ram it through. So if you've got chemotherapy for cancer, bring your doctors in the chamber. I don't care if it's a health reason. Wheel in the hospital beds. Give someone the oxygen they need there. If you need a mobile MASH unit, set it up right there in the Capitol. It's amazing that a woman with cancer had to get her chemotherapy treatments delayed, but she did, in order to protect democracy in North Carolina. And of course, on September 11th, a day that I would think has some meaning for Americans, that was the day they said, yeah, this day that brings us all together because foreign terrorists attacked us, we're going to use that day to destroy democracy in North Carolina. I wish I could say it was just North Carolina. When we come back, I'm going to play for you a tape of a Democratic legislator in North Carolina basically describing how she would not yield to the speaker, how she wanted to go by regular order, how she wanted to raise a point of order. The speaker of the House in North Carolina, the Republican, shut off her mic. So she grabbed another legislator's mic and started to speak through it. So then he ordered the police to arrest her. So then Democratic members of the legislature, the few that were around, stood around her to keep the police from arresting her. This is not a tin pot dictatorship somewhere far away. This is the United States of America. And it shows you the depths to which Republicans are willing to go to get their way, even if it means destroying the very democracies that they have sworn to uphold. It's not just North Carolina, folks. It's nationwide. And we'll give you more examples when we come back.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. What happened in North Carolina yesterday on September 11th was scary. It was an attack on democracy. Unfortunately, it was typical. We are seeing it increasingly across the country. And I think it's because, well, the majority of Americans prefer Democrats, and Republicans don't want to accept that, so they're going to do whatever they can to hold on to power. I want to play for you the moment that Democrats first realized that this deception was happening, that this trickery was happening, the moment that a Democratic state legislator realized that her point of order that they had been promised to have no votes today was going to be ignored by the speaker. The moment the speaker shut off her mic, the moment she said she will not yield. Let's play that.
I've been in cancer treatments we have been on this floor without fail for months. At the expense of the public, Mr. Speaker, you have let
and this is the this is the only way that you are going to get something.
How can you stand there and do this? This is unrealistic, unbelievable, and unacceptable. This is just the sort of thing that erodes the confidence in government to pull these kinds of stunts.
That was not stated.
Wait a minute.
Now, the House has got to work. If members recognize
you shall not do this to democracy in North Carolina, Mr. Speaker. How dare you do this, Mr. Speaker? I will not yield.
We're not going to let anybody touch her.
I will not yield, Mr. Speaker. I will not yield. You shall not usurp the process, Mr. Speaker. How dare you subject this body to trickery, deceptive practices, hijacking the process? We have been here day and night for months defending what we believe. And you would submit this body to trickery, deception, deceit. It is so typical of the way you conduct yourself. How dare you, Mr. Speaker?
This is not leadership.
How dare you do this, Mr.
This
Speaker?
Is a hijacking of democracy.
If this is the way you believe democracy works, shame on you.
Okay, I think we've heard enough. It's hard to listen to. It's even harder to watch. That's Representative Deborah Butler defending democracy in North Carolina, saying that you shouldn't use deception and trickery and manipulation to persuade a whole bunch of legislators not to show up and then ram legislation through that you know they oppose merely because you tricked them. It's scary, frankly. It's the kind of thing that you see when you study the rise of Adolf Hitler to power, the rise of Stalin, the rise of Lenin, right? Keeping political opponents away, tricking, having sneaky votes that you ram through. It's un-American, to be sure. And yet, increasingly, that's all Republicans have. See, it's one thing to have a battle about arguments, right? Let's have this discussion. Should you die if you're too poor to afford health care? You can argue either way. I happen to think that human life matters more than money. Republicans happen to think that money, whether you have it or not, whether you're born with it or not, matters more than your life or your health. They're fine with the fact that people who are poor die much younger than people who are rich. That's the America they want to see. Okay, let's have the debate. Let's have the debate about values. And then let's put it to a vote. But you see, when the majority get to vote, the majority, and the majority of Americans are not very rich, the majority tend to vote for people who care about them, namely the Democratic Party. So the Republicans know that if they have fair elections, they're going to lose them. So they do their best to prevent fair elections. The first thing they did is revive Jim Crow laws in Georgia, in Alabama, in North Carolina, in Florida, all across, particularly the South. They've been trying their best to take away black people's right to vote. It's hard to do now because there is this federal law, these federal civil rights acts, passed in the 1960s, that say you can't do that. But you may recall the United States Supreme Court a few years ago, by a 5-4 decision using their right-wing majority, declared racism was over. We don't have racism in this country anymore, and therefore the Voting Rights Act, most of it, is defunct. Yeah, it was passed in the 1960s when racism was terrible, and yes, it was actually renewed by a 98-0 vote in the Senate just a few years earlier, but all the senators are wrong. And even though there's no provision in the Constitution that says we can keep blacks from voting, in fact, the Constitution as it's written now, not, you know, during the Three-Fifths Clause, back when we had slavery, but as it's written now, you have equal protection under the laws. As it's written now, you're supposed to enforce this. So the Supreme Court, based on nothing but Scalia's belief that racism is over, because I guess he didn't think he was racist, ended the basic provisions, the heart of the Voting Rights Act. We did a story on it when it happened. Took out the provisions that required southern states to pre-clear, and a few other states, by the way, racism doesn't just occur in the South, to pre-clear, to check, to make sure the things they were doing were not explicitly racist. Yeah, that's all out the window now. Now you have to apply and challenge each thing after it occurs. In other words, prior to the Supreme Court decision, if a state wanted to impose a racist restriction on voting, they had to get permission first. Today, the law is go ahead, kick all the blacks off your voting rolls, and then if there's a challenge to it, you can go through the courts and maybe win. And in fact, that's what happened when North Carolina racially gerrymandered and Virginia racially gerrymandered. And it took 3, 4, 5 years sometimes to get justice. You may know about the recent Georgia race. Stacey Abrams almost certainly would have won if all Georgians had been allowed to vote. But the person she was running against was the former Secretary of State in charge of the Georgia voting rolls. And he decided to take a whole bunch of blacks off the voting rolls because he knew blacks would vote for her, an African-American Democrat running for governor. So he just removed them from the rolls. Nothing, to be fair, that Joseph Stalin wouldn't have done, or Adolf Hitler, or Saddam Hussein, or even smaller dictators. Indeed, removing people from the voting rolls is how the South stayed so flagrantly racist and for 100 years, right? Not allowing blacks to vote via poll taxes and grandfather clauses and literacy tests allowed whites to stay in power and to lynch blacks and to continue to treat them almost like slaves for 100 years. So it's not like this stuff is unusual in American history. It's that it's a little bit striking that Republicans continue to practice it. Now, the worst argument against this, but one that people still raise, is that, but Mark, Democrats did it 100 years ago. Democrats kept blacks from voting. Democrats did poll taxes. They're the ones. Lincoln was a Republican. And you know what? They're right. It's true. It's also irrelevant. Put me down in the 1920s and I would almost certainly be a Republican, not a Democrat. Because in the 1920s, Democrats were racist and Klan supporting and keeping blacks from voting. But we're not talking about the 1920s. We're not talking about 100 years ago. We're talking about today. And as you probably know, the Republican parties have taken the mantle of racism from the Democratic Party, where it used to exist in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and now proudly adopted it as their own. You may know about the election of 1968, when George Wallace, a former Democrat, got so angry with the Democratic Party, with Kennedy and Johnson passing the Civil Rights Act, ending Jim Crow in the United States, that he formed a third party. They got a lot of votes in the 1968 election against Nixon. Nixon saw it and he said, I'm going to get those people. I can be racist too. I can be against blacks too. I don't care that Lincoln was a Republican. We can rebrand the Republican Party to be the party of racism. And remains the party of racism today. In fact, even more so now than in Lincoln's day. You may be aware that in Florida, the people have been trying to allow blacks to vote again. And to be fair, blacks do vote in the South in massive numbers and have since the 1960s. But elections are won on the margins. And if you can just disenfranchise 10, 20, 30% of black voters, you can still control your state. One of the easiest ways to disenfranchise, if you're trying to keep blacks from voting and you know they're going to vote Democratic and you don't believe in democracy and you're a Republican, you want to stay in control, is to help put a lot of black people in jail. This all goes back to the 14th Amendment, which is a good amendment but not a perfect one. The 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution was passed after the Civil War. And it said that everyone has the right to vote. Everyone born in the United States or naturalized. If you're born here, you're an American citizen. So that meant that slaves were American citizens, formerly enslaved people. That meant that Native Americans could be were American citizens. That meant that everyone born here is an American citizen and could vote. But there was an exception. The exception was for people who committed a crime or participated in a rebellion. Now, interestingly, that was probably put in by the radical Republicans of those days, the Union-supporting, Lincoln-supporting Republicans, because they wanted to keep Confederates from voting. They wanted to keep those white traitors to the United States from voting. So they participate in crime or rebellion, they could be kept from voting. As time went on, the rebellion clause wasn't used anymore, but the crime clause was. In 1902, a Virginia state senator famously said that using this crime exception, the 14th Amendment, he could keep, these are his words, not mine, he could keep the darkies from having power in Virginia. Using this racist language, he made it very clear that if they could accuse a bunch of black people of crimes, whether they committed them or not, and put them in jail, they could take away their right to vote. And so you see new laws, laws against drugs that didn't used to be illegal, laws against loitering. Loitering? Yeah. For a time, it was illegal to stand on the sidewalk for no apparent reason. And by locking up all these black people, by making it a practice after we have cars to stop people for driving while black, by being in black neighborhoods and prosecuting crimes, they weren't prosecuting white neighborhoods, these southern states could remove blacks from the voting rolls and actually put a bunch more in prison. That practice still happens today, which is why Florida voters voted in a really astonishing election in 2018 to say that ex-felons could vote again in Florida. You see, if you've committed a crime and served your time, in the vast majority of states, I think almost all the states outside the South, you get your voting rights restored. But in the South, you can't vote forever. Go to jail, commit a felony when you're 18, you can be 65, still can't vote. Unless the governor decides to give you the right to vote, which was entirely in his discretion. So Florida voters voted to change their constitution, to say, you know what, when you've served your time, you do rejoin American society, you can vote again. Pretty strong law, pretty powerful law. We thought that Jim Crow in Florida was over, but the Republicans had another idea. They said, you know what? What if we charge people to get their voting rights back? What if we say that in order to vote, you gotta pay a fee? Now, we're not gonna call it a tax because poll taxes are expressly prohibited in the United States Constitution. There's actually an amendment to the US Constitution passed in the 1960s that says you can't charge someone to vote. Poll taxes are unconstitutional. Directly, expressly, right there in the Constitution. So, like, we won't have poll taxes, we'll have poll fees. We won't charge them at the polls. We'll charge them to register to vote. Now you'd say, well, Mark, that's ridiculous. That's clearly unconstitutional. True, if you respect the Constitution and you've read what it says. Does the Supreme Court? I don't know. They've read what it says. Do they respect it? Are they willing to put the words of the Constitution above their partisan preferences? We'll find out. But for now, Florida Republicans are still implementing a poll tax, requiring these ex-felons who have the right to vote to pay for that privilege, which isn't a privilege at all. It's a right. When we come back, I want to talk about other ways, whether it's the Electoral College or gerrymandering, that we see Republicans emphatically oppose. Even the filibuster is in opposition to majority rule. Rather than win over the majority, they're going to use tricks to stay in power as the minority. And it's something all of us Americans need to fight. This is Mark Levine. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. So what's going on in North Carolina is unfortunately not unique to North Carolina. In Pennsylvania, in Michigan, in Wisconsin, in Ohio, in Florida, in Georgia, Virginia, all across the nation, Republicans are doing a number of things to try to fight democracy. Keep blacks from voting, keep young people from voting. And to be clear, I'm not saying that Republicans are necessarily racist to keep blacks from voting. I think it's the result is racist, obviously. I think they're doing it because they think blacks vote for Democrats. I think they're keeping young people from voting because young people favor Democrats. That's why they make things really difficult and require photo IDs and don't accept college IDs and require you to be home and in person to vote and all these laws designed to disenfranchise voters. But if you believe in democracy, shouldn't voting be more easy rather than less easy? I mean, that's not really that hard to think about, is it? Then they're gerrymandering. They're drawing all the lines. Drawing lines so that if a majority votes for one party, the other party stays in power. The United States Supreme Court recently ruled that though racial gerrymandering is still illegal under what remains of the Voting Rights Act, partisan gerrymandering is just fine. It's just fine. We don't really care what the voters think. I think if the majority of voters choose one party, that party should control a state legislature. The United States Supreme Court disagrees, but the United States Supreme Court was not chosen by a majority. The two most recent members of the United States Supreme Court were chosen by a president rejected by the American people. Remember, Hillary Clinton beat Donald Trump by 3 million votes. And by a Senate rejected by the American people. Because the majority of Americans live in states with senators who voted against these Supreme Court justices. First time that's ever happened in American history to have a Supreme Court whose majority is controlled by people, none of whom were in the majority. The Senate didn't represent a majority. The president doesn't represent a majority. The Supreme Court doesn't represent a majority. It's going to take a supermajority to save our elections and win back our country. One of the ways to do that is with a bill that I'm sponsoring in Virginia called the National Popular Vote Act. It's a bill to end the Electoral College. You have to do it in state legislatures, and the reason it's kind of complicated, mostly because revising the U.S. Constitution, we don't have the votes for that. But we can do it in state legislatures. All we need is 270 electoral votes of state legislatures to do that. We're already at about 200. Because why should a minority of Americans control anything? Minorities should have rights. Right to freedom of speech, for example. Due process rights. But minorities should not be able to control our nation's agenda. And that's why we have to get rid of the filibuster in the Senate too. And I think Democrats will do that as soon as we're in charge. And we should. The Senate, of course, is profoundly undemocratic. And that one we can't change. We can't change that by constitutional amendment because the Constitution says we can't. So the voters in 16 states are half the nation. 16 states, California, New York, you know them, Texas, Florida, Illinois, half the states, half the population. So 34, or two-thirds of the Senate, represents less than half of the American population. If you believe in democracy, it is your responsibility to support it. And if Republicans in North Carolina across the nation truly believed in democracy and didn't believe in raw power, believed that we the people are in charge, they wouldn't allow this nonsense to occur. Make your arguments and get your arguments passed by the majority of the American people, not by deception, not by trickery, not by taking away the right to vote. This is Mark Levine, signing off.